Good morning. It's time to get up with a sore Steph vowing to play. But what will happen if he's not 100% tonight? How much trouble are the Warriors actually in? And great expectations. Tom Brady chasing ring number 8. But is this actually his biggest hill to climb since coming to Tampa? And is Brady's former coach about to do something he has never done before? Why, one of our analysts says the Patriots could take the plunge. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Hannah Storm in for Greeny. Obviously, he is at the NBA Finals Game 4 tonight. And look who's here with me in Seaport.
Yes.
It is the Originals. It's Bart and Han together in one place. I'll be playing referee. Pat Bev is going to be here in a minute. Monica McNutt joins us live from Boston. Jeremy Fowler, Rob Ninkovich, they're ready to talk football. But first, we start with hockey. Let's go on the ice, guys. Game of the night. Lightning Rangers series tied at 2, and Ryan Lindgren getting to the puck, throws it on net, and it goes in.
Watch this play here. Tries to rim it around a lot late. Lindgren pinches, throws it at the net. Good things happen.
All right, so the Rangers take a 1-0 lead in this pivotal game, and Mikhail Sergachev then gets going. Shoots it from the point. Gets it past everybody for the goal.
Sergachev hadn't scored yet in the playoffs, but this was a huge goal and a typical Tampa getting a late goal at the end of the period. And suddenly, things were tense at the Garden.
Oh, yeah. It was tied at 1 under 2 minutes left in the third. Sergachev gets it at the point, throws it on that. Bart, you're pointing.
No.
Redirected in
Bart
front.
Bart sat down when this goal happened.
Bad luck. Andre Palat, his 8th goal of the playoffs. Third straight game that he has scored. And what's happening here? Come on,
you know,
Han.
Just a little, like, you know, how's your family? And we'll see you in game 6.
Oh, man. You know. Is that necessary?
I was ragdolling the kid that left for, yeah, just takes him down. Bart, have you ever done that at the end of a game? Just, you know, take out your frustrations on the phone?
Oh, no, look at that poor fellow.
We get fine. Yeah, that's a lonely fella. He's on the island.
Oh, man, that's sad. All right, Lightning win 3-1, 3-2 series lead. And this goes to Tampa on Saturday night. So Palat also scored the game winner in game 3 at the 19-18 mark, the third period, making the first player to score multiple game-winning goals in the last 2 minutes of regulation in a single postseason. That's clutch. And he's done it in 2 of the last 3 games. Now to the NBA we go, where the biggest story entering game 4 is the health of Steph Curry. Al Horford rolling on Curry's leg as the two of them dove for a loose ball in the fourth quarter of game 3. And Steph providing an update on his status.
I'm going to play. That's all I know right now. Get as much recovery and healing as possible. Understand how important game 4 is. And I'm excited about the opportunity. Because I went through what I went through at the end of the regular season and coming back, I know exactly what it is and what I got to deal with. And there's, I guess, comfort knowing I've been through it before, but also you'd rather not have to deal with something like that.
All right, Alan and Monica, can the Warriors win game 4 tonight with a hobbled Steph Curry, if indeed that's the case?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to say. I don't think he is hobbled. I think it's a little bit of gamesmanship. I mean, from what I've heard about practice, and Monica, I know you are there, so you could say what you saw, but everybody said he wasn't limping. He didn't practice, of course, but a lot of the guys who played just took a day of rest, but it didn't look good. He did scream, according to Draymond Green, at one point, but I don't expect him to be hobbled. They have a great training staff there at Golden State. They will have him ready. We have seen this before in the playoffs where one game a guy looks like he won't be able to go, and the next game he goes for 40.
Monica, you there on the scene. What do you think?
Well, I do echo what Han had to say. Didn't really see a limp. I will say this. This is the shortest turnaround of all the games in this final series. I asked Steve Kerr about it. He said, well, it's just like a regular season game in terms of the opportunity to prepare and get ready. If, y'all, this is an if. If Steph is hobbled, that's a problem, Hannah and Han. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a problem. He has been the catalyst for everything that the Warriors have done. And that is not to say that he's not that during the regular season, but in a series where they at times have looked like they are really struggling to find offense and to compete against this Boston defense with so much length, he's been the only guy that's been able to consistently create his own shot and kind of create shots for others. Usually, we see that from Draymond in terms of being a shot creator for his teammates, but this Celtics defense is really locked in. So if there's any inclination that Steph is bothered by this, it's going to be problematic, and not just on the offensive side, but defensively.
Yeah, how would you see them trying to capitalize on a Steph at less than 100%?
Yeah, I mean, well, they've had a hard time. The Celtics have had a really hard time guarding him, specifically him, because they have gone up against Kevin Durant. They've gone up against Giannis Antetokounmpo. They've gone up against Jimmy Butler. And they've had their, you know, they've been able to overcome them. They have not been able to overcome Steph Curry. And Steph Curry in the finals, Golden State's offensive efficiency when he's on the floor is 116.8. When he's off the court, it's 91.5. That's a big difference, clearly. So he's one of the great shooters of all time. We know this. He's a guy that just, you give him an inch, it's all he needs. A little bit of daylight, he can knock down a three. But it's also his impact on his teammates when he's on the floor as well. Yep. Because his teammates shoot better when he's on the floor. Why? Because so much focus is on Steph Curry, less focus on them. So as Monica said, if Curry is a little bit hobbled or is a little bit that, he's not the same because legs feed the wolf when it comes to shooting, then a couple other guys need to step up, and there's several of them that I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most important player on the floor in this series, talking both teams, yes. Clearly. This is so crazy to consider, Monica, but are the Celtics actually having an easier time here in some respects than in their series against Milwaukee and Miami, which were so physical, especially that Heat series?
Ooh, Hannah, I hesitate to use the word easier, right? The Warriors are absolutely a formidable opponent, but it is different. I mean, Miami and Milwaukee, for that matter, had a different amount of size that you had to contend with. And I know for a fact from my front row seat on the Eastern Conference Final Series, there was a different level of physicality involved in the Miami series. Now, that also meant that we saw some pretty wild swings in that series, right? And we've kind of seen that to start this series so far. It is far more familiar to the Celtics, I think, than it is the Warriors when you look at both teams' paths to get here. But I think that they are fully prepared to make this game physical and make the Warriors feel them. Ime Udoka said to us prior to game two, he has a roster full of two-way guys, and they take a lot of pride in that. Now, on the flip side, it's not like we're talking about the worst defensive team in the league in the Warriors, but they have to do a better job of making the Celtics feel them sooner.
Yeah, top two in defensive efficiency in the regular season.
Right. We have the two best defensive rating teams in the league right now. And what we're also seeing is two teams that turn the ball over a ton. And so points off turnovers are a big story in this series. It seems like now the Golden State Warriors are actually averaging more points off turnovers per game in this series at 20. Celtics right behind them at just under 18. But it feels like when the Celtics get those points off turnovers, they're a little more devastating. There's something about how quick strike they score. Like we saw the third quarter in game three, it looked like, oh, here come the Warriors doing what they do. But at the end of that quarter, it was the Celtics that a couple of quick strikes, and all of a sudden, that run that we thought, okay, here come the Warriors, completely stopped.
All right, really quickly, who needs to step up tonight for the Warriors? The first name that comes to mind.
It's a combo for me, guys, Draymond and Klay. I mean, this is the core that has that championship DNA that is present on the floor in terms of impacting, winning. And those two guys, Draymond is the heartbeat of this squad. He had 4 rebounds in game 3, and he will admit that he didn't necessarily play well, so I know that he's prepared to bounce back. But when Draymond is playing with a certain level of energy, listen, you mentioned turnovers, Han, but second chance opportunities for the Warriors also kill the Celtics because they end up being 3-point shooting opportunities.
Yeah, they got doubled up in points on the paint and second chance points. Yes. The Warriors did. That can't happen.
No, dominated in the paint, just kept going to the basket on them because they just felt like you don't have a real shot blocker out here. And Looney, they had to take him out of the game because of defense and issues there. I will also say, I'm not going to say it's twofold because I think Klay Thompson is just going to be Klay Thompson. At least it seems like he found himself in game 3. Yep. Draymond Green is the series. This is it. If Draymond Green doesn't want a repeat of 2016 where you could argue it's his fault they didn't win the championship that year because of his antics, same thing here. He's got to have maybe the best game of his playoff career in game 4. Have an impact, positive impact on you. It doesn't have to be big scoring, but it needs to be all across the board. Rebounds, it needs to be assists, but most importantly, his energy has to be positive.
Yeah, suspended back then, as we all know, with the Warriors with the lead, and Cavs come up and take that series. All right, much more to talk about with this, but let's get to football. Thanks, you guys. Tom Brady returned to Bucks minicamp this week ahead of his 23rd season this fall. Wrap your brain around that one. Brady is in his third season in Tampa, as you know, and he believes this upcoming season may be his best as a Buccaneer.
I think this should be, you know, in my opinion, our best opportunity to play our best football because we've been together the longest, and why shouldn't it be? We know each other. You know, we know the scheme. We've been through a lot of challenging circumstances and games, and now we got to go out there and execute it as well as we possibly can.
All right, the great Bart Scott with us. Ninko is here. Fowler is here. First, do you agree with Tom Brady that this gives him his best chance in his 3 years?
I do. I believe that they should be hungry. They've been together, so you got continuity. And also the 3rd year is really where you can expand the packages because you know that you know. And you look at what they've done, bringing in Akeem Hicks to be with Vita Vea. How are you going to run against that? So they're going to make teams one-dimensional. I think bringing in Russell Gage to replace Antonio Brown gives them that slot receiver that they needed, those live young legs, and takes the distraction away. Now, I don't worry about Bruce Arians being away because he's still around the building. Todd Bowles has a great opportunity to just run the defense. Byron Leftwich can continue to work in partnership with Tom Brady. I think they should be the favorite in the NFC.
Obviously, the bar is really high, having won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Jeremy, what are you hearing around the league about this? Oh, Jeremy is not here. Nick, one thing that we talked about this morning that I just heard from Bart, he's not worried at all about the coaching change. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's going to be some transition here. Like, it's not just going to be the same as last year or the year before that. There's a new head coach there. He's a defensive guy, so I'm sure he's given the offensive guys a little bit more free rein to do things. With Bruce Arians, obviously we know he was a quarterback guy. He's an offensive guru, so he probably had a lot more input into Tom and the things that they were doing offensively. So there's probably a little bit more leeway here offensively. Just let that side do their own thing, and then I'll focus on the defense, and we'll take care of the defensive side of things. So with the coaching change, just like anything, it's any type of change, there's going to be an adjustment period. I know they were together, but there's a difference between being a coordinator and then being the head coach. You got to wear a bunch of different hats. You got to deal with a bunch of different things. You got to deal with the ownership. You got to deal with the management. You got to deal with a lot of stuff. So, you know, I think that they are a really good football team, but what's Tom supposed to say? Like, oh yeah, you know, we might struggle a little bit this year. No, he's going to say, I think we're in a great spot. We're going to win. You know, like he's being a leader. He's being the quarterback, you know, the leader of that team. He's saying exactly what he's supposed to say. We're in a good spot. I think we're in a great place, and we're better than we were last year. Like, that's what you're supposed to say, right?
Yeah, and listen, we all know, like, Tom Brady's not going to come back unless he thinks he can get that eighth ring, of course. So this is what you expect to hear. But as Jeremy Fowler joins us, is this team considered better than last year?
Probably better than last year, but not to that 2020 tune. That team was loaded with top 10 players all over the field. They had a great defensive line. They had Antonio Brown really as their number 3 wide receiver, and he was healthy, happy, and relatively in check. Now Brown's gone, and their number 2 receiver, Chris Godwin, is hurt, still coming off that ACL. So a lot to prove, but at least there's some good news with Rob Gronkowski. The Bucs, I'm told, are still optimistic that he will re-sign, be back in the fold sometime maybe before training camp. I'm told Gronk still wants to play. That's the feeling as of now, even though he's been unsure publicly. So the Bucs are still reloading, and they're still a top team in the NFC.
That could be the most unsurprising news of all time, right?
Gronkowski's trying to get the Junior Seau treatment when Junior Seau used to show up to Patriots practice on Thursday when they sent him the game plan. That's what Gronk is going for. Yo, he's in the 30-plus club. He's not trying to put any more miles on his body. He's not trying to go to training camp. He knows the playbook. Him and Tom have tremendous chemistry. He's fine. Let Gronk have a little bit more vacay time. He'll get in football shape probably around November, December, and be ready for the playoffs.
There you go. All right, we will leave it at that, guys. Coming up, much more to talk about from the NFL. Did you see what Devontae Adams admitted about the Packers? Did Aaron Rodgers' hesitation about the season actually cost him his best chance of winning another Super Bowl? And 15 points, 15 fouls. Why is Draymond struggling so much in the finals? And what can he do to turn it around tonight?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Wipe It Clean is brought to you by Clorox, and Jimmy Fallon is going to need to clean up after trying to demolish this hot dog and trying to chug this beer at the Lightning Rangers game last night.
Who do you think he is, Joey Chestnut?
He needs some lessons from Joey Chestnut, because I don't know how much of that hot dog he actually got in his mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Or the beer.
Yeah, you just spill it everywhere.
That is a terrible beer chugging effort.
Well, it's so you don't have to drink it. It's the trick you learn in college where everybody's chugging, so you miss most of your mouth with it.
Yeah.
You get
uh-huh.
only a little bit, you don't get as drunk.
Yeah, he was seen later in the game, and he reached
Frank the Tank,
jersey.
He's not.
Yeah. All right, one of the biggest moves this offseason, Packers trading Davante Adams to Vegas after being unable to reach that long-term deal. And yesterday, Adams confirmed he took less money to go to the Raiders, and he detailed the reason behind his departure from Green Bay.
Where I'm in my career, and this isn't a shot at anybody, any other quarterbacks are, in Green Bay. You know, I love Jordan Love, especially. He's a great guy, but, I got aspirations of doing really, really big things and being remembered. And I just, it wasn't really a point in my career that I was willing to sacrifice, Aaron not being there, after a year or two.
Okay, there's a few interesting things in there, like naming Jordan Love first.
Yeah.
Okay, Ninko, quickly, what was your first reaction when you heard that sound?
I'm a little shocked, honestly, because if you think about it, there's wide receivers willing to take pay cuts and do whatever it takes to go play with Tom Brady. And Adams is saying he took a pay cut to leave Aaron Rodgers, which is crazy to think about. It's shocking.
Yeah, I mean, just for perspective, Rodgers signs his extension on March 15th, and Adams is traded 3 days later, Bart.
No, listen, every week this dude's going, every year he's going to the TP, he has to get a cleanse and all the stuff that he does and deciding if he's going to go do Jeopardy, what he's going to do. What Davante Adams is saying, I'm not going to let Aaron Rodgers hold me hostage in my future. Listen, I've seen Jordan Love in practice, and I'm not impressed. I got aspirations to be one of the all-time greats, and I'm not about to let you leave me here on the island after a year when you decide to go do Jeopardy, and I'm sitting here with this guy, and my number's dropping, and I'm in purgatory. People trying to figure out what happened to Davante Adams. Jordan Love happened to Davante Adams, and that's the issue. I'm not about to let Aaron Rodgers come here every year. Is he coming back? Is he leaving? He said it the other day when he was talking on an interview.
He said it again.
Year to year.
Right.
No, I'm
right.
not about, I need certainty, and why not go play with my best friend in a place with no state taxes in Vegas and be able to put up major numbers? And that's what he decided. He decided to be selfish because Aaron Rodgers has been selfish in this process by holding the team hostage for years and always teetering on the side of retirement. When you start talking about retirement, it's not far away.
Did he cost himself a chance at another Super Bowl by this? Because if it was, cause and effect, that's a big reason why Davante left, then, that's an incredibly special combination that's not going to be there and can't be replaced. Ninko?
Yeah, no, for sure. Think about this. When you have a go-to guy like Davante Adams, like a go-to guy in any playoff game, in a Super Bowl, you need that guy. You need guys like that. And I know everyone's talking about Green Bay, like, oh, they picked up, a couple rookies, and they got, Aaron Rodgers is still there. They're still going to have, they're going to be great. They're going to get – no, like, they needed a guy like Adams to go to when the game is on the line. And you have to throw it up. And you see it every single year. teams that get into the playoffs, that get into Super Bowl situations, they need those guys. And without him, I don't think Green Bay gets back.
So, Ninko, do you agree with Bart that this is an indictment of Jordan Love?
No, I wouldn't say it's an indictment on Jordan Love. I think
Nick,
it's more
he named
so,
his name, Nick. As he said, he named names.
Yeah, but I think he was trying to say, I'm not trying to, you know, put down Jordan Love that if
but,
Aaron Rodgers leaves.
But, there's,
but I'm leaving.
Nobody knows. There's the unknown. There's the unknown. Okay. And look, he could go to the Raiders right now, and Carr might not get, like, it, yeah,
that's
okay, they played in college
friend.
Together,
that's
but is he comparable
friend.
To Aaron Rodgers?
Listen,
yeah,
but,
okay.
but
I got best friends too. Sometimes I don't want to like work with my best friend.
But listen, they train with each
we'll
other in the offseason. Listen, this is a big indictment on Jordan Love because listen, let me tell you something. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce weren't saying, oh man, Alex Smith is out here. I'm out of here because they knew what Patrick Mahomes was. He knows exactly what Jordan Love is. And he
Tyreek
ran
Hill
for the
just
high
went
hills.
To Tua. Tyreek Hill just went to Miami. He just left Aaron Rodgers
because he got his Super Bowl. He got his
money.
Super Bowl. Because he got a Super Bowl, so now you can go chase the money. See, but Davante Adams doesn't have the Super Bowl. He's trying to add a pelt to his belt. That's what that's all about. When you name names, when you say I'm not, when you say but, like I say, you set me up for the but. I'm not talking bad about Jordan Love, but. Like, come on, man, come on.
And he did say he wants to make history. Guys, this segment
make it with
is
Jordan
history.
Love. No.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this more
yes,
as Get Up continues.
Sorry,
okay,
Hal.
All right, you're good. You're good. You're okay, Bart.
I just
we're
miss
moving
you guys.
On.
This is,
I know. We're.
I'm so excited to work with you.
Oh, same. We're moving on right now. Ninko, help. All right, guys, in other news, the PGA Tour has suspended the 17 members who are competing in the inaugural LIV Golf International Series, including guys that you know, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, and more. Now, the tour announced the suspensions in a memo to its members yesterday, just 30 minutes after Mickelson, DJ, and Garcia teed off at LIV's first golf event in London. And in that memo, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan wrote that any players who take part in future LIV golf events will face the same punishment. Some other big names there as well. LIV Golf, funded by Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund. Garcia and Mickelson had this to say.
Any PGA Tour matters, I'm not going to discuss publicly at this time.
Yeah, it would be nice for everyone to get along, but unfortunately, some don't want to, and we gotta live with that. But like I said, you know, I'm focused on where I am, and I'm very happy with my decision. We're gonna enjoy it as much as we can.
In a statement, LIV Golf called the PGA Tour's punishment vindictive, adding, quote, it is troubling that the tour, an organization dedicated to creating opportunities for golfers to play the game, is the entity blocking golfers from playing. The era of free agency is beginning. We are proud to have a full field of players joining us in London and beyond. Close quote. Coming up on Get Up. Have Draymond and the Warriors been exposed? What has to happen for Green and Golden State to turn things around? And what, pray tell, has to happen for Pat Bev to make it here for the top of our show? Just a tad tardy. Maybe he was working on that fit. I don't know. Coming up, Pat Bev's got to explain himself.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. Time for a new game. We are calling Monica's Face Says What? And this is why we play this game right there. All right, I'm going to make a statement, and Monica and her face are going to give us an answer. So, Monica, let's go. All right. If I say Game 6, Clay is back, What do you say? What does your face say? Oh.
I'm not sold, Hannah. Well, for one, Game 6, Clay, is for Game 6, and we're not there yet. We got to see. We'll see. There are some terrific numbers that suggest after the first two games of a series, Clay does kick it into gear in Games 3 through however many are remaining. But I'm not sure. As I said to you earlier, this Celtics defense is different from what the Warriors have previously experienced. I mean, his production from behind the arc goes from 2.4 points or 3-point shots a game to 4.2, and he shoots upward of 35% in Games 3 and beyond, where he was just shooting just 30 in Games 1 and 2. So maybe, but we'll see.
Oh, okay. That's a skeptical face. All right. Let's try this. The Celtics will win the finals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, honestly, Hannah, I picked the Warriors in 7, and I leaned mostly on home court advantage and that championship DNA. I wasn't sure if the Celtics could put it together enough to get over the hump. They'd shown us some brilliance in the ECF, and then they showed us some what y'all doing moments, right? But I will say that this is a team that continues to grow right in front of our eyes. Their third quarter, in particular, staying attached and not getting down when the lead began to shift in Game 3 was very, very impressive. And, of course, they went on to close it out in the fourth quarter. It would not shock me at this point.
All right, in these finals, Draymond Green has scored 15 points and has 15 fouls.
Hold on, Hannah. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving you big energy.
All right, yeah.
Listen, Draymond, to his credit, he has absolutely owned the importance of his game as it relates to this Warrior squad. But that stat line is going to follow him until he proves otherwise. For as good as he was in Game 2, not so good in Games 1 and 3. And so for someone who is as vocal, and he's an incredible interviewer. I enjoy Draymond. I think he's very engaging and captivating. He and I had a conversation about folks being sensitive or not in this day and age. I think he's great, but ultimately you are on the stage and you have all of these platforms to give your opinion because of what you do on the basketball court, and that is something that he need not lose sight of, but I know he doesn't need me to tell him that.
All right, walk the walk. And Monica, good job. Good job on the first.
Thank you.
We all love it. The many faces of Monica McNutt. All right, speaking of Draymond Green, he talked about bouncing back from Game 3 and his mindset moving forward. Take a listen.
It's just about me finding that balance. And just like I said on my podcast, being Draymond Green. I know how to be him better than I can be anyone else. I know how to be him better than anyone else can be him. So I just got to be myself.
There we go. Talking in the third person, promoting the podcast. we love it. We get a kick. Pat Bev, by the way, has finally made it here. It's nice of you to join us. What happened? What happened this morning?
No, I'm from Chicago, so I'm not going to put the blame on anyone else.
Wait a second. They have traffic in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the blame on anybody else.
Okay, all right.
My bad. My coffee was late.
Yeah, you know what? It's crowded in New York right now. We're back. The city's back. We're happy that you're back.
Thank you so much.
All right, so why don't we start with you. Draymond, does he burst out of a slump tonight?
I mean, he has to, no, right? He's a pro. He, every game that he hasn't played well, that following game, he's played well. We're looking for Draymond to be a better version of himself. We're looking for Draymond to have emotion but not be emotional while he's on the court. We're looking for Draymond to put a stamp on his game, be the leader that we know he can be, because if he don't, they're going to lose.
Listen, he's from Michigan, man. I'm from Michigan. I understand how he responds. He's going to come out. He said it himself. He has to be himself, but he has to find the balance. So he has to find the balance as far as being a facilitator, and he's got to take good shots. You know, he has to understand those three-pointers aren't his shot. He has to take them, but he needs to be more aggressive and make sure that he finishes above the rim if he can.
Right, they need his scoring. What else?
Well, they need his defense. I mean, never mind all the other stuff. I mean, obviously, he is a heart and soul player for this team. He does a lot of things, glue guy, that we have talked about. He's a quintessential team player when he's playing his best. But keep this in mind. During their first four runs to the finals, he had the best defensive win shares in the playoffs of any player. Like, that's his impact on the game. That's the best way to measure it. But in this playoffs, he's under one. Like, he was at 1.8, 1.7. He's at 0.7. It's 16th in the league. There are six other Celtic players higher than him. He prides himself as a defensive player who makes a defensive impact. That's what I'd like to see in this game four. Sure, he's got to score, rebound, all that stuff, but that's where he makes his money.
Defense. See, Monica is raising her hand. Yes, Monica.
I submit that we are all in class with Professor Pat Beverly, one of the elite agitators in the league. So, Professor Beverly, I have this question.
Elite defenders is a difference. Elite.
And that is a good distinction.
Elite defender.
Finish your thought, but I want to pick up on that. Agitator,
all the things. If the Celtics are completely ignoring the trash talk element, does that play into what Draymond has experienced? It feels like some of his trash talking and his nature is just as much about bugging the other team as it is for getting himself going.
Yeah, but does it go anywhere, Pat Bev? I mean, it can't be all talk.
Yeah, I think maybe if this is a regular season game, you see a team one time, maybe you can get away with a little trash talking. But I'm gonna go back to this. When Draymond Green, when he's at his best defensively, it's a 7-footer out there. It was Kevin Durant, 7-footer. It's Looney. It's tough for Looney to play in the series. Mm-hmm. But when Looney's on the court with him, he's a great defender.
Right.
When Bogut played with him, when Marcus Cousins, when you have someone that can be in the paint and Draymond can just roam everywhere and kind of play that free safety type of defense, he's not being able to do that because he's been stuck in the center position.
Right, when they go with that small lineup, you're saying they need to make adjustments, especially against that long Celtics.
Yeah, I don't know if it's about adjustment, but I know when he has other taller players with him, he's better defensively.
Yeah, you're saying
so that small lineup
is a win.
Yeah, I mean you can't. Yeah, that's all.
So what would you do?
I don't know. It's tough. You got to go small. But if you go small, you have to, I don't know. You have to be tedious in what you do. Boxing out is important. Communication is important when you go small. So, and that was the point you seen on the film. I think a shot goes out. Robert Williams gets it. He didn't box out. Robert Williams gets it. Draymond Green troubles with length. Everyone knows that.
Do you think that maybe they should play Kuminga to give them some more athleticism and some more size?
No, I mean if they do, you can't do that 2-1. You know, you can't go in and just trying new stuff 2-1.
Yeah.
You got to be stuck.
You got to make some adjustments.
I mean, so they are who they are. So what kind of game do they need from Draymond tonight then?
Well, they need a throwback performance from him. Mm-hmm. I'll ask both of you guys, because both of you guys in your respective sports are similar players. Defense first, aggressive, toughness, not afraid to mix it up, all those things. Impact that also gives your team energy. And so game three was 2 days of a lot of talking.
Yeah.
The crowd was involved in it too. How much of that affected Draymond's? He will never admit the crowd or the atmosphere affected his game. Well, but could you guys see it and say, no, he's got a lot too much going on in his head right now?
Well, trash talk works both ways because he also motivated them. And like they're prideful as well. So they watched the film and saw that, hey, Draymond got to us. So they came out aggressive and they made the necessary adjustments. Now he has to make the necessary adjustments. When you talk about finding the balance, you know, the trash talk motivates us too. I don't want to speak for Pat Bev, but when I talk trash, it motivated me to play at a high level because I know I have a bullseye on my back. So now can Draymond step up and say now he's heard all the critics, will it motivate him to shut them up?
Yeah, I feel like I don't feel like what I do is talking trash. I feel like I'm just telling the truth. If a person can't shoot, I'm going to say you can't shoot. That's not talking trash. I'm just telling you what you can't do.
Are you giving the scouting report?
Yeah, that's all I'm doing. I'm just following the numbers. So if you feel some type of way about that, that's on you. So that's not me agitating for the damn game. You know?
There's a distinction there. There's a fine line.
Everyone says talking trash and all that. Well, but no, Golden State, this is a very important game for them.
Yeah.
Very important. You can't go down 3-1 against the Boston Celtics. I don't think they allow it, you know. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see soon.
All right. Monica, we'll get back. Yes? Really quickly,
I will just add, guys, post-game I asked Jaylen Brown about this because it's been one of the bigger talking points. And Jaylen Brown was like, Draymond's going to be who he is. Like, we can't give that energy. He's going to be who he is. And Ime has also encouraged this squad, if you're the type of guy to respond, fine. But if you're the type of guy to ignore it and play through it, do that too. So don't act brand new.
All right. Guys, thanks so much. Just telling the truth. That's all we do. We just tell the truth right, Pat?
I was talking trash.
But you were talking trash. All right, game four of the NBA Finals tonight at 9 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio. Our coverage tips with Greeny and the NBA Countdown crew at 8:30. Meanwhile, coming up, is Brady's former coach about to do something he's never done before? Why one of our analysts says the Patriots could take the plunge.
Call the non-believers.
How did that
call the non-believers? I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait. We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Oh, it's just so good. We had to make a whole segment out of it. Can't wait. Bart Scott here. The three things you can't wait for in minicamp.
I tell you what, Harbaugh can't wait as well. Tuesday, will Action Jackson actually show up? I don't know what the problem is. You know, the Ravens say they have money waiting for him. Lamar Jackson hasn't been a participant. Will he show up? But better yet, will he participate in mandatory OTAs or mandatory camp? That is a big surprise. I can't wait to figure it out, Hannah. Your guess is as bad as mine.
Okay. What's the next thing you can't wait for?
Listen, this is interesting too. Like this name and DK Metcalf name was rumored in the offseason for trade rumors. A lot of people made some offers for him. Seattle said he's part of our future. How much is he part of your future? He's not there. He's choosing to get fined, I believe, $83,000 a day. I mean, you talk about what he's worth. He's worth $25 million. He's never made over $1 million in his career. This will be the first year he makes it. Pay the man his money.
Man, I don't know though. They might be in rebuild mode. That's going to be interesting. The Patriots, how do they figure here?
Yeah, listen, I want to see what happened. I hear that the great leadership of Mac Jones, but I don't know about the leadership of Bill Belichick as a offensive coordinator. Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, two head coaches that have been relieved of their duties. They're going to lead this offense for the first time. I don't know, Hannah. The AFC may be catching up to them, and they could be battling the Jets for last place in the division.
What?
Yeah, I said
what?
That. I know we got the resident.
Oh man, we have got to bring Ninko in here. He's gotta look at this. I mean, we talked about Monica's face. Look at Ninko here. Just to be clear, are you picking the Patriots to finish last in the division with the Jets?
Well, somebody has to finish last.
Yeah, I know.
I believe the cream of the division we know is Buffalo. I think Miami has made enough moves in the offseason to be second or maybe battle for first. But right now, it's so much uncertainty, and I think maybe the mighty have fallen in New England.
Oh, Ninko, what say you?
Bart's been waiting to say that for years now.
Yes.
Come on now. Can't wait for the Pats to be in last place. Listen, I'm gonna say a couple names. Number one, Bill Belichick. He's not gonna end up in last place. Number two, Ramondre Stevenson. Gonna be the best running back, probably top five running back in the league. He had a great year last year. He's gonna come out of this division as the best running back. Just
Breece
mark
Hall.
My words. He's the best
Breece
running
Hall.
Back in the division.
Breece Hall.
What's that?
Breece
no,
Hall.
Stevenson. So listen. Okay. So the Dolphins, they've made some great moves. I just had to listen to his head coach. The head coach talk about his first experience with sushi the other day and tuna. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? I'm telling you, Bill Belichick is the best head coach in the division.
That is
He's
the
working
doubt.
This
That's
thing
the fact.
Out. We got Mac Jones going to his second year. He's going to take the leap forward. I understand everyone's freaking out that there isn't a named offensive coordinator. They didn't name the offensive coordinator, and they previously were head coaches. I think they're going to come here to New England. They're going to work out because they're working for Bill Belichick. They will not end up in last place. I'm rapping.
It's a lot of questionable decisions made there. You know, you talk about letting Shaq Mason go. It's a lot of leaders not in there anymore. Jamie Collins, Van Noy. It's a lack of leadership there, and somebody's got to fill that void. I don't know if they can do it.
I'm just still trying to figure out what sushi has to do with this, if anything.
That's all he had.
That was it.
I'm never eating sushi, Ninko.
That's what the head coach, Miami Dolphins head coach.
Well, I know, but
sushi
what does that
day?
To do with football? Okay, whatever. All right, gentlemen.
That means that people are sitting in meetings like, what the heck is he talking about?
I want to know what the heck you're talking about. All right, guys, Bart, Ninko, thanks. Meanwhile, in the Women's College World Series, top seed Oklahoma taking on Texas game two, and that Oklahoma defense would get going early. Bottom of the first. Texas up 2-0, runner on third, and look at the catch by Jada Coleman. Jessica Mendoza's with us. Jess, how about that?
Oh my gosh, if we can give the MVP to an outfielder, Jada Coleman, the play she made. By the way, she made two back-to-back, but that one she robbed to come back in. Texas is already up 2-0. That saved two more runs. And of course, getting into the fifth inning, this is when the game broke open. Kinsey Hansen, the catcher who had been struggling, the only hitter in this lineup who had been struggling, of course, came in with a huge home run. And this was an emotional moment. Hannah, oh my goodness, Jocelyn Allo, the greatest college softball player we've ever seen, who never plays defense, was put into left field, hit two balls, and then taken out.
Taken out of the game to a round of applause, of course, and in tears as she walks off the field. This, the end of her college career in the best of all fashions, defending their national championship. And now here is the ascendant star, Jocelyn Allo.
I love this game, and I'm sorry. I'm sad to be walking away from it, but I'm happy that I ended on top, and I'm just so blessed for this journey that God has blessed me with.
And among the notable records for Oklahoma during this Women's College World Series, the most runs and most home runs in a single Women's College World Series, due in large part to Allo. They became the first back-to-back national championship since they did it themselves back in 2016 and 17. So now Jess back with us. Jess, can you just describe how dominating this Oklahoma team was?
I mean, Hannah, it's their offense. I mean, as much as we saw the defensive plays and all the things that they've done, we've never seen a team dominate offensively like this team has. Just to put it in perspective, of their 58 wins, 40 of them have been by run rule, meaning they've won by eight or more runs and they've had to end games early. In fact, both of these World Series game finals, they won by at least eight runs. They would have been a run rule, but they don't have that rule in the finals. In fact, that game one, they won by 15 runs, and it comes on you quick. They were losing this game, Hannah, for four innings. It was an amazing close game, and before you knew it, the fifth inning came, and it was just home run, pow, 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 and the next thing you know, it's a 10-2 ball game.
And Jocelyn Allo has captured the imagination of the country, setting all-time home run records. Can you put into perspective just how great she is? And even if you will, compare her to other players at the plate.
Hannah, you know, what's really cool, and I'm going to nerd out for a second, on a stat called Weighted Runs Created Plus. This is something that's huge in baseball. You use it all the time to decide who is the best offensive player. And it's just basically how many runs do you bring to your team. Jocelyn Allo has 308 of that stat. Average is 100. The best MLB player we've ever seen in one season is Barry Bonds at 244. She is 60% better than the best baseball player we've seen in a single season in the amount of run production that she's brought to her team. I mean, the home runs, but the batting average too. She's the home run queen with 122, but she's hit 500. Over the course of 160-plus at-bats, I mean, we will never see something like this again. And it has been unbelievable to be able to watch her. And you saw the emotion as she leaves this game on the college level and how much she's impacted it. But, Hannah, it was watching history, and it's been pretty remarkable to see her career.
I mean, between Oklahoma's dominance, between Allo and everything that she has brought historically, how has this year's team changed the sport of softball?
You know, it's completely changed the game. I mean, we have seen now just the way the Patty Gasso's gone and recruited the best talent, but also the way that they hit, the style of play that they have. And honestly, Hannah, the dominance. And this is something that is very attractive. We've seen higher ratings. It was the biggest crowds we've ever seen at the Women's College World Series. And we've had huge ones. But people want to see greatness. They want to see this absolutely special team. We've seen it on the women's side with UConn women's basketball. When you see these teams that are absolutely dominant, not only does it change the game, but it also helps all these other teams understand the ceiling of where they need to go now with the national championships. I mean, Oklahoma, those those six national championships, I mean, five of them coming in the last decade is insane when you think about what they've done. But what's really cool for the sport of softball, Hannah, is now from the youth level and beyond, we have seen the game changed and the ceiling is pretty dang high.
It'll be very cool, too, to see what Allo's able to do at the pro level. There are a couple of leagues. She's in a bidding war. She already has some NIL deals, so maybe she'll continue to make history at the next level. Jess Mendoza, as always, great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Hannah.
And coming up on Get Up, Steph says he's good to go, but what if he's not 100% tonight? How much trouble are the Warriors in? We're talking about it next on Get Up.